So, some of you know who I am. Little introduction, I guess. Jeff's son, and my wife is over there, Kaylin. We've been married for 3 years. We just bought a house that we've been fixing up, and I'm a skateboarder. I like to skateboard. I've been doing that since I was like 7 years old. And I also do skateboard ministry. We share the gospel and make hamburgers and hot dogs in Westchester, as well as surf camps in the summers in Ocean City and Atlantic City. So those are some of my favorite things to do. And I just love being active, being outside. I can't wait for the summer. I'm sure you guys are with me on that one. So little intro there, but I want to get to the word, and I am encouraged myself because I just finished reading through the Bible. I actually have Revelations left, a little bit of Ezekiel, and what else? I finished up 1st, 2nd Chronicles, but I've been reading through the Bible, and I just feel like that God has been working in my life, and I want to talk to you guys today. So we're going to focus on Psalms 119. My version says, the title is, Your Word is a Lamp to My Feet. Some of you probably know it as, Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet. So this is obviously a metaphorical statement that implies that God's Word will guide us through life. As I began to kind of do some research on this chapter, it's quite a long chapter. It takes up 3 or 4 pages of my Bible here this morning. But the author actually isn't known, but it's just such a great passage. And when I look at that title, I'm just going to focus on that title here for a second. The Hebrew word used for lamp is actually pronounced as near, and that is N-Y-Y-R, near. And the Hebrew word is actually closely related to a candlelight. This is a lamp, which is kind of the translation, but it's also referred to that as the candlelight. We're not quite anywhere yet. We're at Psalms 119, simply at the title. And I just want to focus on that title because it's kind of the highlight of this passage. So nowadays, you know, we have those huge, like, flashlights. Like, you can go to Walmart and get, like, the best flashlights ever. They go, like, 50 yards. You can see, like, everything. So we're not talking about a light like that. We're talking about a candlelight. This is why I think it's so important, because sometimes, like, when you walk through the darkness with a candlelight or a small lamp, which is what they had then, you can't see too much in front of you. You can only simply see like a little bit, a circle of light. You can't see past that into the future. And so that kind of stuck out to me, because if you think about it, sometimes when we go through life, that light there that God is showing us is sometimes subtle, but it's there. But sometimes it's hard to know which way to go, right? You know, as I'm getting older, I'm 25 as of yesterday. I realize that a lot of decisions in life, a lot of conflict, a lot of things are messy. Relationships get messy, you know, and careers and taxes and all that stuff, right? Things get hard, and sometimes it's hard to know which way to go, how to answer to a harsh conflict or something like that, right? We can all relate with that. But there's always that little, you just know what is right. It might be hard to do, but it's there. And so I just like that, because it's like that candlelight is glimmering. It might be hard to see, but it is there. And we all know what that's like. So I want to look at a few of the things that we are facing today as a culture. And not to stay focused on it, but to acknowledge it, not to shine a light on it or put it on a platform because the news already does that, but kind of to look at a little bit of some of the problems and issues we're facing today and then share the hope. So today, you know, unless you live under a rock, you see the political conflict and the corruption and the arguments. You know, we just had our presidents and all that stuff arguing on live TV. So there's a lot of conflict going on. There's wars. We also have things that have been going on way before my time, like, you know, the killing of the unborn, abortion, immigration issues. We have drugs like fentanyl and all that, and the list just keeps going on. But we also narrow in our own lives and our population, and we see that there's a growing amount of depression and anxiety for my age group, 18 to 25. I'm just on the brink of that, actually. But has some of the highest major depression, my age group, with 18.6% of the population. We also have things that we see, gender confusion. We see young adults with a lack of purpose. Actually, 58% of young adults say they lack purpose. If you have grandchildren, you can probably see some of them might not know what to do with their careers, or they maybe don't know who they are. We also see things like cost of living putting stress on people. And those are just a few things that came to mind. I didn't really have to think that hard because we hear about it every day. But why am I sharing this? It's important to ignore or run from these issues, that we know how to deal with them and face them head on with the power of God. Now we're going to get into scripture. God calls us to peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, we are called to be peacemakers. God's word is clear that through him we can make a big impact in this world. Imagine the ripple effects of us living in Christ and being in the Word. If you want to flip to your Bibles, Ephesians 6, 12 through 13. It's a very popular verse that I was thinking of for this. Ephesians 6, 12 through 13 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Sounds like our day and age with the darkness around us, but as you know, this was written thousands of years before us, and nothing has changed. But we are called to stand firm. So, God's word is our strength. So, one of the reasons that I picked up reading the Bible this year was actually because I was inspired to read through it a year ago when I was listening to a podcast on someone I looked up to as a kid. He was a professional skateboarder. His name is Mikey Taylor. He lives in California, obviously. And he noticed that as he was getting older, that companies were not paying him anymore to skateboard, which happens. So he was in the middle of, I think he was probably in his 30s, trying to find a new career with a family. And at that point, he did not know God. So the stress was on, and he didn't know where to turn. This is what he says in his podcast with hundreds of thousands of followers. And he found himself alone and without answers, so he decided to pick up the Bible and to read it straight through. When I heard that, I thought, well, I just got married, maybe 2 years in there, and there's a future ahead of me. Who knows what it will look like, right? So I said, you know, I'm going to pick up the Bible too, and I'm also going to read through it. And because of this guy named Mikey openly sharing his story, that inspired another professional skateboarder who also was on another podcast I saw, and he shared the same thing. I picked up my Bible and I started reading it, and that inspired me. So imagine all those people that heard this little message. That ripple effect really can go out to the world. It has impacted me. God's word is our strength. When we feel hopeless or lost, He is right there waiting for us to go to Him. This is a great verse that came to mind. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." Jesus is standing there at the door waiting for us to answer. And that is just a great kind of analogy of, like, sometimes when we're going through hard times, He's there. He's waiting for us to just ask for help. So I'm going to do one more statistic. Actually, I might have another statistic, but I like the statistics. I don't know why. This is from the U.S. Religion Census in 2020. We all know what 2020 was like. The year of our world, well, at least for me, I'm 25, so maybe you have more age on me. For me, the world flipped upside down, right? 6.8 million people started to attend a non-denominational church than in 2010. So 6.8 million more people in the U.S. started to try to go to church because some churches closed. So why was there an uptick in churchgoers? I would like to think that sometimes in chaos or not knowing the future, that as humans to know God's heart, His plan, because we feel emptiness inside of us. Psalms 119, verse 90. Let's finally get there. 90. Psalms 119, 90 says, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast." His faithfulness endures to all generations. I have a big Charles Spurgeon commentary book that I found at a thrift market or something. It was pretty cool, so I picked it up. And he is on all of Psalms, and he states for this verse that when we see the world keeping its place and all its law abiding the same, we have herein assurance that the Lord will be faithful to His covenant. He will not allow the faith of His people to be put to shame. If the earth abides, the spiritual creation will abide. If God's word suffices to establish the world, surely it is enough for the establishment of the individual believer. So, if the world is set up and the laws remain the same, surely God's word will stand strong, stand firm throughout all of time. And I like this, the end part of that, because it says that if God's word suffices to the establishment, to the way that the world works, the sun comes up, the moon, wait, let's see here, sun and moon. One of them comes up, the other one goes down, right? If that happens every day, we have gravity, right? We have summer, spring, fall, winter. If these principles of how God set it up, surely that we are the same as individual believers to know that God is there for us every day and it will never change. A book that I just finished reading was Daniel. So if you want to go to Daniel, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. It's a short book, but there's a lot of power in this story of Daniel. So, Daniel is before, and he's in Babylon, and he's before King Nebuchadnezzar. He's brought in. At the time, I'm not sure why, but the king was having visions and these dreams. And King Nebuchadnezzar called in magicians and enchanters to kind of say, at least try to say what these dreams mean. And Daniel, he was one of the four there that were found in the spot that followed God. It says, the king talked and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. So the king found them to be above everyone else. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. So here's these people for a living, they're magicians and enchanters, demonic things, the demonic powers. And here's Daniel with 10 times, he's 10 times better than the rest of them. Why? If you're in Daniel 1, go ahead and flip to Daniel 6, verse 10. It says, Daniel got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had previously done. So, 2 things here. He prayed 3 times a day. I'm guessing breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I could be wrong. Morning, midday, night. He opened up the windows and looked over the city. And he kneeled down and he prayed. Someone must have seen this because they knew that he was doing this. I'm not going to finish the rest of the story, really. You may know it. If not, well, you probably know it's Daniel in the lion's den. I just want to focus on that, those 2 things here. He prayed 3 times a day, and he also gave thanks before God. So every day Daniel would do this, and his relationship with God was so strong, and he honored God with his life. God saved him from the lion's den, and he also saved Daniel from people that were coming against him in this government. And then not only that, actually, I want to add here, when you get to the end of Daniel, you see that Daniel was used to actually write down visions of the end of the world, really, to talk about when Jesus is coming back. There's visions. And Gabriel shows up. And it's very, very intriguing when you read through Daniel. I'm inspired by Daniel to the Word, to study, to try to live for God. It's hard, right? But at least if we set these principles up that we go before God every day and we try to draw near to Him, that we will be made stronger in His presence. And then, you know, others see that. So, maybe in the midst of turmoil, like, there's great awakening happening here in America and the world. I'd like to believe so. Cool thing that I see today is I'm on social media. I'm that kind of generation. I use TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. Probably hear about that. I see these people that are on there sharing the gospel to young people on universities, on college campuses, on podcast formats, talking one-on-one with non-believers. Even this one guy, I forget his name, but he goes out in Walmart and he just says, hey, do you know one Bible verse? Hey, can you tell me one Bible verse? A lot of people walk past him. No, get away from me. No, I don't know any Bible verse. No, get away, get away. And then at the end of the video, there's usually one old man or something, and he'll say, yeah, I know a Bible verse. And then, you know, I'll say the Bible verse. These videos are captivating, and they draw the attention of young users who end up hearing the word of God through these digital platforms. There's this one guy I just listened to. You can write his name down. It's very interesting. His name is, he's actually Canadian. Canada, he's a good guy. His name is Lee Huff. He actually was just on Joe Rogan podcast. And he's a Christian theologian, I guess. He's young. I think he's 30, 32 or something, but he's really smart. And he knows a lot of scripture. And he talks to Joe Rogan about a debate that he had and how he wants this, he wants his guy that he was talking to come to know the Lord. And Joe Rogan invited him on the podcast because it hit the news that Wesley Huff debated this guy. And I listened to him and I was just inspired. So many millions of people. Joe Rogan has millions, hundreds of millions of hundreds of millions, something. He has a lot of people who listen to him. So, I guess what I'm trying to get here is, how are you going to let your light shine? The light that's in us, that candlelight. Here's another analogy that I thought of when I was studying. If I have a candlelight and I'm walking outside in the dark, like out in that field back there, I can't see past this light. I see this circle. I can't see nothing past it. But someone, let's say they're at that barn over there looking out over the field, they can see me with that candlelight, but I can't probably see them, right? This is a good analogy because sometimes for us as the individual Christian to make decisions, to listen to that subtle voice of God telling us to do something, we just go after it. We just keep following that light. And we sometimes don't know what the right answer is. But the people around us are watching. They see us with that candle. They see that light because everything else is dark. The whole world is dark, but the Christians have that subtle light there. So, Matthew 5:14 says, sorry if I'm sniffling, I have a little cold. Matthew 5:13 is talking about the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:14 comes in and says, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let's picture this. A city set on a hill. I know one big city that I grew up seeing their lights in Philly, right? You look over sometimes at night, at least I live near French Creek, I can see the lights of Philly. Maple Grove, you can see those big dome lights, you know. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp or a candlelight. A candle and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I'm going to see how much time we have here. Oh, I didn't set my clock, whatever. If I go too long, kick me off. I'll probably go short. So if we truly believe that Jesus is our Savior, we need to take action in our lives to be a light in this darkness. Yesterday, my wife and I and our friend Jolie, who's visiting, went to a little clothing store across from a coffee shop or something. And when we were inside, I was looking at the cool clothes and the trendy clothes, and I went down to the bookshelf and I saw Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, and I caught my eye and I was like, oh, that's a good book. And the store lady, she's like, you can take one of those. And I was like, what? These books are like 20 to 40 bucks. I was like, she's just getting free. And there was a Bible, and I bent down and looked at all the books, and she's like, yeah, take one. I said, okay. The owner likes to do that, to give out these books for people to gift to someone else. So the ESV Bible, it's sitting in my car. I got to find the right person to give it to. But this stood out to me because here's a subtle way that this business owner, a small business, a retail store, they're not doing too hot. But this person decided that, you know, 40 bucks here, 40 bucks there is worth it to them so that the gospel is, the light is shown out to the world. That stood out to me in perfect timing because here's this message. So, is how will you shine? Shine that light of Christ in us. One subtle way that that Kayla and I and that I wanted to do was just to wear a shirt that has Jesus on it. When I'm walking in a store, if someone looks down, they see the shirt and say, nice shirt, which happens in Walmart quite often, and I'll be like, thanks. Like, hey, can I pray for you? You know, just little subtle ways to share the gospel. We do to write to others. It could be it could be gifting. It could be asking someone to pray for them or saying God to you and you have a conversation. Or also just being there for your family. Maybe you have a off-the-wall sibling. Everyone has a something like that, you know. And maybe you're there for them even though everyone else turned their back on them. The testimonies of God's work encourages us. And that's why it's so important that we read and study God's Word. If we read and study God's Word, it teaches us to stand firm and to shine. I wanted to say one other thing. I'm not sure how many of you guys actually do listen to podcasts or YouTube videos or things like that, but actually, let's just look at politicians and leaders, right? A lot of people put their attention to these people that are high up. And they put their hope in these people. In a lot of ways, with nutrition or with how to live or here's why we should change this policy or that policy or this. We hear of the golden age coming. I don't know. But to me, when you look at what the Bible says, we're always going to be dealing with these issues. Jesus says there's always going to be poor among us. So we have to be careful where we put our hope because we are just humans. All of us. Our solid foundation is right here. This is it. Going before God, asking Him what His will is for our life, for our country, is the most important thing we can do. Thankfully, a lot of our politicians right now are trying to do that. But this never fails us, where some people speculate of things happening. Some people speculate on this and that, but it fails many times. So I just finished reading 1st and 2nd Chronicles as well, and I'm not necessarily going to flip there. But my first impression of 1st and 2nd Chronicles was, this book is in the Old Testament. It might not have meaningful text. It might just be numbers, right? A lot of the Old Testament is just numbers. But what I found when I started reading 1st and 2nd Chronicles is that there's this structure of how the book goes, and the king of Israel or Judah is set in place, and he either tries to follow God or he turns from God, or like he tries to follow God and the time goes on and he gains more power and money, and then he falls and he starts worshiping idols and he turns the people away from the Lord. He sets up images of gold and he makes these temples for these idols. And you know what God does? He sees that and he destroys that king. It's crazy. And it just keeps happening again. I remember reading through. I'm like, okay, another king. Bye. Another king. All right. Nope. Wrong king. Right? If you ever read through it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Puts them in. Takes them out. Sometimes they're like, I don't know. It's crazy. Some of them are young. Some of those kings were young, like 20s. Some of them were in their teens. It's like crazy. But it kind of makes me look at my life and think, my living. What would happen if I gained power and money? Am I going to continue to follow the Lord as the time goes on? Reading through it is a good reminder of what will happen if you don't. The cool thing is reading that is that though some of those kings actually did repent. Some of them did turn back to the Lord even when they were humbled, right? God destroys them or sends them out. If he didn't just kill them right there, they have a second chance. They see that they're just human. They might be a king in the world's eyes, but they're just human. And God humbles them, and he offers them a second chance. Some of them take it. Some of them keep going down the stubborn ways of humanity, of worshiping idols. One last thing here. Let's see what time it is. Sorry, guys. I'm going to end early. It is what it is. Early lunch for everyone. But one thing here is that some of those kings that did repent, they didn't cling to their idols. They didn't say, well, I'm going to follow you, God, but I'm just going to put this statue in my house just for decorations or whatever. No, they said, all right, that temple, we were worshiping those idols. We're going to tear it down. We're going to throw away. We're going to destroy those idols, and we're going to set up a new temple for God. That's what stood out to me. We have to look into our lives and see when God humbles us and we repent, what are we still clinging to in our lives that is keeping us from entering into God's grace and mercy fully? What's keeping us from that? Little thought there. So, I guess the last thing is just, I want to encourage you guys, encourage myself, because this helps me get get stronger in my faith as well? How are we going to encourage the community around us? How are we going to give the light of Christ to those who need it? And I just wanted to say, too, that Kayla and I, we really like coming here and visiting. And we sometimes visit my in-laws' church out in the Cacalco area. And we kind of go back and forth. It's always great to come here. Everyone's so interesting. And just, I really like this church. And I know my family has been very, I keep using encouraged now, very encouraged to have you guys as their church community. And I think God's going to bless this building. And he's going to bring people here. That's going to happen. I hope so. And I'm going to pray for that. Let's pray. And then would you mind singing the first song again? I really liked that song. I really liked I like the older hymns, actually. Seek ye first. I really like some of the older hymns, and I just want to sing that one more time so we can close. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this church community. Thank you that they let me up here to share my thoughts and share about what you're doing in my life and Kaylin and I's life. And I just pray for this building, that it will be used to shine a light here in this community and in the world. I just pray that you lead us, you guide us, and that we can truly come to know you. And also just teach us to observe our lives and see what we need to get rid of to follow you. And just show us who you are daily through our daily devotions, and bless each and everyone here. In your name I pray, amen. Okay, let's do that. A cappella. Can you run it? Thank you. Oh, you don't have to. Let's just do it. All right. Seek ye first the kingdom.